by request some time ago. I hope they stuck around to hear it. Bobby Hebb 76 with Sonny 76. And it takes us just about to the end of the program. Tom Morgan's my name. I'll be back at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Hope you'll join me. I'll have the mystery box then, and we'll see if we can give you an album. Have a good night. This is KOIN Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The Soviet-backed popular movement for the liberation of Angola has scored another major military victory, and military experts are calling it the closing action of the Civil War. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The MPLA has captured Silva Porto, the military headquarters of the pro-Western movement UNITA. UNITA leaders have announced their army will now melt into the bush and revert to guerrilla war. Their Marxist rivals were aided by an estimated 10,000 Cuban soldiers, millions of dollars worth of Russian supplies, and aircraft reportedly flown by Czechoslovak pilots. Amid its military triumphs, the MPLA gained a major diplomatic triumph Wednesday, official recognition by the Organization of African Unity as the legitimate governing authority in Angola. There were bitter words on the defeat of the pro-Western forces. They came from Prime Minister John Vorster of South Africa, whose forces were directly involved in the fighting for a time. Vorster saying the free world shirked its duty by failing the anti-Soviet contingents in Angola. And Vorster reserved a barb for the U.S. Congress. Its opposition to Angola aid, Vorster said, means that what happened in Angola can happen in the rest of Africa. The MPLA has said it will not leave an inch of Angolan soil in foreign hands, and that could mean more fighting for Vorster's forces, as Ian Smiley reports from Lusaka.
If it keeps its word, MPLA must force a direct confrontation with South Africa. The Cubans, who have been the driving force of the MPLA attack, have said that their role in Angola is to defeat the South Africans, who have now pulled back to a line that stretches across the whole of southern Angola, about 50 miles inside the border. They say they're protecting their considerable economic interests there, and there is little doubt that they will defend that line fiercely. If Cuba does attack, it could find the conflict far bloodier than the Angolan war so far. Zan Smiley for CBS News, Lusaka.
More news after this.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and postnasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus strainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Hello, good folks. I'm Denny Bracken, here with the distinguished man about the pot and pan, Mike Roy.
Glad you added that.
Tomorrow's Spice and Tell You a Recipe Day of the Cook Thing over CBS Radio's network. What'll it be, oh, great one?
Mrs. George Washington's crab soup.
You?
Served in the White House by Eleanor Roosevelt.
That sounds rather distinguished.
Oh, it is. It's just a soup kettle away from Valley Forge and as patriotic as all get out.
Okay, we're going to raise the flag on the crab soup, see who salutes tomorrow on Mike Roy's Cooking Thing right here on CBS.
In three states, Iowa, Mississippi, and Oklahoma, which are selecting their Democratic convention delegates through the complicated multi-tier process, 30 to 40% of the delegates have been uncommitted. The same happened Wednesday in Alaska precinct caucuses, only apparently more so. J. Allen McKinnon reports from Juneau.
The scores are in. Alaska Democrats are 55% uncommitted. Senator Henry Jackson of Washington piled up 35%, while former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter came in with roughly 10%. This after partial results in from Alaska's 441 precincts. As expected, Jackson, as chairman of the Senate Interior Committee, garnered support from Alaska's Native population for his work in passage of the 1971 land claim settlement. Much of the Jackson lead came early from outlying villages and towns. The Carter supporters campaigned harder in Alaska than those of any other Democratic candidate. Alaska comes into the national convention with a meager 10-vote delegation. District caucuses will be held in March, and the statewide convention to be held in Juneau this April. In Juneau, this is J. Allen McKinnon for CBS News.
Now this.
Okay, I made a mistake. My first mistake. But they say guys like me coming out of jail usually wind up coming right back.
I like sitting in the park, but not every day. I want to do something useful. People around here, though, they think you're over 65. You're useless.
The man crossed and shoot. Who are you kidding, girl? You're nowhere unless you can read.
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
On the evening of the Saturday night massacre back in 1973, former President Richard Nixon told his Attorney General that he had to fire Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox because Russian party leader Leonid Brezhnev would not understand it if Cox were allowed to defy the president's orders. So, Mr. Nixon explained to Elliot Richardson, who had come to the White House to resign. Richardson, now Secretary of Commerce, reveals the episode in an article in the current issue of the Atlantic Monthly magazine. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, the Department of Environmental Quality will hold a public hearing February 23rd on special air pollution rules proposed for the former five-county Mid-Willamette Valley Air Pollution Authority. Counties affected are Benton, Linn, Marion, Polk, and Yamhill counties. Proposed regulations to be aired at the hearing will retain the more restrictive rules used by the authority and the process weight rule for the board products industry. President of the Portland Police Association has accused Mayor Neil Goldschmidt of making direct threats. Members of the association recently endorsed City Commissioner Francis Ivancy for mayor over Goldschmidt. The mayor was quoted in a news conference Monday as saying political endorsements by city employees might backfire and, quote, if they're prepared to play in heavy traffic, they've got to be prepared to get their toes run over. Police Association President Stan Peters said today, and we quote, we are going to treat his comments to us as a direct threat of political pressure just because we chose to get involved in politics. Two migrant farm workers pleaded innocent in Portland today to 9 counts of kidnapping, robbery, and assault. Pleas were entered by 35-year-old Thomas Bornson and 26-year-old Lonnie Davis concerning an incident last Friday where 4 persons were held hostage at a state food stamp and welfare office. Multnomah County Circuit Court Judge Philip Roth set separate trials March 16th for Davis and the 29th for Borenson. Labor dispute is underway at the Tektronix plants at Beaverton and Wilsonville. About 65 employees failed to appear for work today. Company spokesman said they're expected back tomorrow. Firm's human resources director says the employees apparently are protesting recent changes in pay rates. Democratic State Representative Vera Katz of Portland would like to get out of the business of working on fire safety code violators in the city by March. Said the mayor's committee she heads on seeking enforcement of the codes would like to quit once the city completes court action against department and hotel owners that do not meet those regulations. There's going to be some rain and wind decreasing overnight with occasional rain tomorrow. Lows near 40 tonight, highs tomorrow somewhere around 50. Chance of measurable rain is near 100% through Thursday. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. It's only fair to warn you that this is very definitely a haunted house. Yes, there's a good old-fashioned ghost at large in these dark and dismal corridors. What's that? You are not afraid of ghosts? Yes. Why should you be? You've heard far too many ghost stories to be frightened by just another phantom. But be patient. We believe there's something particularly terrifying about the spirit who is about to jump out of your radio at you. We advise you not to turn off the lights when you hear this sound.
It's only the wind. You're just hearing the wind.
No. No, no, it's her. I know it is. It's Elizabeth calling me. Calling for me.
Our mystery drama, You Owe Me a Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Patricia Elliott.
It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and General Electric. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If 2 bits equal 1/4, how much are 12 bits worth? Well, at your True Value Hardware Store, they're worth $3.97. Hi, Pat Summerall to explain. The 12 bits are part of a Century 13-piece drill bit set that you can get right now at your True Value Hardware Store. These 12 high-speed bits will drill holes from 1/16th of an inch to 1/4 inch in wood, metals, and other materials. Use them to make clearance holes for bolts and screws and holes for tapping. This set also gives you something a lot of drill bit sets don't include, a center punch, the accurate way to start any hole. That's 13 pieces in all in a folding pocket case. Each bit fits in a slot marked with its size, so you never have to guess which bit is the size you want. 2 bits may equal 1/4, but at your True Value Hardware Store, 12 bits are worth $3.97. Get the Century 13-piece drill bit set at your participating True Value Hardware Store. For the one nearest your home, look under Hardware in the Yellow Pages.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The prophet Joel spoke in the name of God. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So pay attention to your visions and dreams. They may contain more than you imagine. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Fitting to begin a ghost story than a graveyard? But no, the Avondale Gardens would never use such a stark and grisly term, for this is the finest and most elegant cemetery in the Midwest, according to their brochures. And only the finest, and may I add, richest, families bring their dear departed to these peaceful grounds and manicured lawns. No swirling mist envelops the funeral procession which is now taking place. The sun shines brightly on the mourners, and yet something in the face of Irene and Daniel Weston would chill the blood of any passerby as they stand at the newly dug grave and solemnly stare at the white headstone.
Elizabeth Weston, beloved daughter of Irene and Daniel Weston, born 1954, died 1976.
Daniel, please. It's time to go.
22 years old, Irene.
I know she was 22 years old, and I know she's dead. And that's enough to know.
Is it, Irene? Is it?
The car is waiting. Cooper's been waiting for an hour.
No. If you want to go home, go home.
And leave you here? How would that look?
Your friends are all waiting for you, Irene, wearing their best mourning clothes. Go home. See them.
Not without you.
They can't wait to cry all over you, Irene. To show you how sad they can look. Don't spoil their fun.
Oh, dear God, how can you talk to me like that? Now, in this place.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I don't know what I'm saying. All I can think about is her.
There's no point in thinking about her. Elizabeth is gone.
No, I don't mean Elizabeth. I mean her sister.
We've already decided. There's no point in asking Heather to come home.
You decided that, Irene. I still say she'd want to be here now.
Oh, Daniel, it's over. There's nothing Heather could do here except... well, except what you're doing, wallowing in your own melancholy.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know. That's how you feel.
It's getting windy. I'm cold.
Go home, I said. Take the car. I'll manage.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'll write to Heather this evening. I'll tell her what happened. She can light a candle for Elizabeth in Rome. The city is filled with churches. Let Heather mourn her there.
And you think that would take care of it?
Yes, I do.
You're wrong. Heather would want to be here. She was Elizabeth's twin. She loved her sister.
How could she love a sister she never saw?
Oh.
All right, Daniel. If you want to struggle home by yourself, I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Irene?
Yes?
You're afraid to have Heather home, aren't you?
What?
You're afraid of her questions.
Goodbye, Daniel.
Oh, Elizabeth. Elizabeth. My poor little girl. Forgive us.
Daddy.
What am I hearing?
Daddy.
Elizabeth.
Daddy. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mrs. Weston. One second, I'll open the car door for you.
Thank you.
Isn't Mr. Weston with you?
No, he's decided to stay there for a while.
But how will he get home?
I'd say that's his concern, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Help me!
Ma'am, did you hear something?
Only the wind.
That's odd. I could have sworn I heard something.
Oh, the wind is like that. Close the door, Cooper. I'm freezing.
Yes, sir.
Irene!
Well, madam, it's Mr. Weston. I'm sure of it.
Daniel? Oh, good heavens. Cooper, hurry. Hurry.
Mr. Weston! Where are you?
Please.
Mr. Weston, what happened?
It's my heart.
Oh,
my heart.
Daniel! Daniel, what is it?
He's sick,
Mrs. Weston. I think it's another attack.
Oh, dear Lord.
She called me. She called to me, Irene. Elizabeth.
Daniel, don't try to talk, please. Cooper, see if you can find a telephone. Get Dr. Sherman here.
Yes, ma'am. It's too late.
Daniel.
It's too late. It's the last time, Irene. I know.
Daniel, please, just lie still.
Now you'll have to call Heather. You'll have to tell her to come home. For my funeral.
No, I've never been to Europe myself, Miss Weston, but my wife says soon as the youngest gets herself married, who knows?
They've widened this road, haven't they?
Oh, yes, 3-4 years ago. You've been away that long?
Longer, Cooper.
My. You must talk real good Italian by now. Well, there's the house. Oh, and there's your mother, right out front.
Oh, Heather! Oh,
Mother.
How wonderful it is to see you. It's been so terribly long.
Oh, it's wonderful to be home, Mother. But for such a horrible reason.
Oh, darling, come into the house. You must be exhausted.
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, thank you for sending Cooper to the airport. It made things much easier.
Oh, my darling, you look marvelous. So pretty.
Oh, Mother.
Heather, you got prettier in Italy.
It's the way the men make you feel. Oh, Mother, tell me all about Elizabeth.
Darling, it can wait.
No. No, please, tell me now. I know how Father died. I know about his bad heart, but why, Elizabeth?
She just took sick, Heather. We brought her back from that place. They couldn't keep her any longer.
Yes, you wrote me about that.
And she was home only for a few days, and she developed this fever, this terribly high fever, you see. And then she died.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you let me come home so I could at least have seen my sister just once before she died? My own twin.
Oh, Heather, come inside. I've got a fire going.
Well, hello there.
Oh, I didn't know you had company, Mother.
Heather, I'd like you to meet Martin Henley, our new neighbor.
Well, not really so new, Irene. Been over a year since we bought the Verdon place.
Well, I mean, new to Heather.
Oh, yes, that's right. Your mother told me you've been living abroad for quite some time.
Yes, I have. Switzerland first. I went to school in Lausanne, then a year in London, then Rome.
Heather was with the embassy.
Oh, don't get the wrong idea. I wasn't a girl diplomat. I was just a secretary.
Well, in any case, I'm sure it's nice to be home, but not under these circumstances, of course.
No, I should have been here long before when my sister Elizabeth came home. Did you meet her?
No, I'm afraid not. Your twin seems to have been ill from the moment she arrived.
Oh, Heather, would you like a drink? Or do you drink now?
Yes, I can use something to warm me. Some wine, if you have it.
Well, no Chianti, but I think we have some sherry. That is, I'm sure Irene has some.
Sherry will be fine.
You know, I suggested to your mother that the four of us go out to dinner tonight. Here's your wine.
Thank you.
What I meant by the four of us, I have a son, David.
You like David, Heather. He's very easygoing.
Just out of the Navy. Just about getting his land legs back. But he's still got a sailor's eye for a pretty girl.
He thought you might enjoy that, darling.
Enjoy it? Why, I'd love it. In fact, why don't we have a party? We can hire a band and dance the night away.
Oh, darling, you misunderstood.
No, I'm just talking about a quiet evening, of course. Your mother and I just thought...
I'm glad you made all these arrangements for my amusement, Mr. Henley, but my father and my sister are dead only 1 month. I think I can wait just a little bit longer for continental food.
Heather, you don't have to be offensive.
If you'll excuse me, I want to take a walk.
Oh, darling, it's cold out.
I want to see the grounds,
and
Mother.
And it's getting dark.
You needn't come with me. I wouldn't want to take you from your company. Ah, the old stone bench. I haven't sat in this bench for ages. I wonder if Elizabeth ever sat here.
What in the world?
Heather.
Someone is calling me. It's my mother. I'd better go inside.
Hey, take it easy.
You scared the daylights out of me.
Well, there isn't any more daylight. Maybe that's why you bumped into me.
You're the one who was in the way.
Well, how did I know you'd come charging out of those trees?
They're my trees. Who are you?
David Henley. I was supposed to meet my father here.
And me.
Yeah, I guess so. If you're Heather?
Yes, I'm Heather. Ah. Do you mind if I went inside? I'm cold.
Your mother said you were pretty. She didn't say you walked so fast. You want the truth? I'm glad that Dad and your mother went to the Red Barn by themselves. I hate the food there.
Too, continental.
For my taste. Give me a hamburger anytime. Does that bother you?
Oh, I haven't seen a real American hamburger in 4 years.
Oh, wait till you try mine. In the Navy, I was known as the Barbecue King.
Your father was a Navy man, too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. How'd you guess?
He looks like the type. Is your father widowed?
Yep. All he's got's me.
So you're an only child. I might as well have been an only child. I never saw my twin sister.
How come?
Oh, well, She wasn't well when she was born. Some kind of congenital ailment. She had to be in hospitals, sanitariums, places like that.
Mm. She didn't die in a hospital, though, did she?
No, no. No, when she was 21, she was allowed to come home.
Oh, I see.
Huh. I sent her a present here. A welcome home gift. It was an antique locket I found in Naples. The kind with room for two portraits.
Mm, yeah.
I took two identical photos of myself and I placed them inside.
Oh. Hey, you're pretty emotional about this sister of yours, aren't you?
Why shouldn't I be?
The reason's too obvious to mention.
Because I never saw her.
You got it.
Oh, but you're wrong. I did know Elizabeth. How could I not know her? She was the other half of me.
What?
Well, don't you know the theory about twins? That they're the same person, divided in half. Only an accident of biology separates them at birth, but they can't ever be truly separated.
Mm, sounds pretty romantic. Like most legends.
I think the legends are true. I honestly believe there were times when Elizabeth felt my joys and my pain and I hers.
I think your hamburger's ready.
What do you want on your hamburger?
Oh, well, everything you got.
Onion? Lettuce and tomato?
Uh-huh.
Pickle?
Of course.
Ketchup or mayonnaise?
Both, please.
Oh, you mean it?
I said everything, didn't I?
Your burger is 12 inches high.
I can manage it. Watch. And you see what I mean? I told you I was starved for a real American hamburger.
You got ketchup all over your mouth.
Do I? Oh, where's the mirror?
It's over here.
Oh, that's not the only thing with the way I look. Why didn't you say something about my hair and look at it?
Well, it's just a little wind blown.
Oh, that was the strangest wind out there this evening. That's why I was running. The wind and something else.
What else?
I don't know. Oh, forget it. You know, every time I look in a mirror, well, I don't know if I'm seeing myself or Elizabeth. Well, now that my hair's combed, I guess I can finish my hamburger.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Well, what's the matter?
The mirror.
What about it?
If it must be the light or my eyes or something.
What do you mean?
Well, I could swear that when you walked away from that mirror, your face was still there.
It appears that Heather Weston is being haunted, and by the other half of herself. But what does Elizabeth Weston want of her sister? They say that ghosts only return to Earth because of a deed undone, a promise unfulfilled, a vengeance unobtained. What force has brought Elizabeth's restless spirit back to her home? And is that force one of good or evil? We'll learn more when I return shortly with Act Two.
When you say bird, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no number one. There's only something left. Because the king of beer.
You've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You know, traditionally, credit has been a man's realm. But today, as more women become part of the workforce, they are realizing the need to establish their own credit identity. And this is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips for women who wish to establish a credit rating. First of all, open a checking and or savings account in your own name, even if you already have a joint account with your husband. Apply for and use at least two credit cards. Open a charge account in your own name at a local store and establish a line of credit at your bank. According to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, applicants for credit must be judged on their own merits. And if you feel you've been unjustly denied credit, talk to the credit agency or the lending institution, and you just go there and find out why. And if you're not satisfied with their explanation, contact the regional office of the Federal Trade Commission.
Heather Weston has come home. Home to a mother whose mourning period for her dead father and sister seems to have been abbreviated. But Heather cannot forget their existence that quickly. She knows that there is still a mystery to solve. And if she didn't know it, her sister's spirit seems to be determined to remind her.
Heather, are you in there?
Yes, Mother.
What on earth are you doing in here?
Just looking around. Didn't you say that Elizabeth used this bedroom?
We did have her in here for a few days, but she seemed so unhappy that we moved her to the middle bedroom. Your old room.
Oh, well then maybe that explains it.
Explains what, dear?
Why, I can't find anything. Not the slightest thing that belonged to her.
Why on earth do you want to?
I just do, that's all. Did you store Elizabeth's things somewhere?
No, I haven't stored anything.
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
To look in the other bedroom.
Heather, wait. Heather, what's the point of all this? You won't find anything belonging to Elizabeth.
I won't if I won't look.
Well, darling, there isn't anything to find. She brought almost nothing with her from that place.
Mother, she had to have clothes. She had to have personal belongings, books, records, a diary. Well, everyone accumulates things, Mother.
Heather, let me save you the effort. There's nothing of Elizabeth's in this room either. Not here, not in the whole house.
But why? Why was everything taken away?
There was so little to begin with.
There had to be something. She wore clothes. She wasn't an animal. Or did you have to burn them? Was it that sort of illness?
No, darling. A fever. Nothing contagious.
Then why is everything wiped away? Scrubbed so clean of her? I mean, you'd never know that Elizabeth existed.
Oh, she existed. Briefly. But she was here.
Then why... Why did you do this? Why did you remove all traces?
Because there are some things in life that don't call for souvenirs.
Oh, yes. I understand. Oh, what's this?
Oh, the drawer doesn't close all the way.
It's because something's stuck in the corner. Oh, there. I've got it loose. Mother, look. It's the locket, the one I sent her from Naples.
Yes.
Oh, so you did give it to her.
Yes, I did, darling. Or I tried.
Why? Didn't she like it?
Well, for some reason, she was afraid of it.
Afraid? But why?
I don't know. I told you that Elizabeth was strange sometimes.
Do you suppose it was the identical portraits?
Well, perhaps.
Oh, Mother. That was it, wasn't it? Those photographs must have seemed so disgustingly healthy when she was so ill.
Oh, you may be right, Heather.
Oh, so the only memento I have of my sister is the one I sent her myself.
Heather,
You're sure you want to sleep in this room?
Well, yes, Mother. Of course, it used to be my room.
I mean, because of her.
Oh, don't be silly. It doesn't bother me that my sister used this room. Why shouldn't she?
Well, all right. Good night, then, darling.
Good night, Mother. And sleep well.
Yes, yes, I'll try. I just wish this weather would change. The wind never seems to stop.
Well, it's this time of year, Mother, that's all.
Damn this time of year. Well, good night, Angel.
Good night, Mother. Whew. It is much too windy. I'd better shut that window. Oh. Oh. There it is again. I do hear it. I do. There's someone out there calling my name. Oh, horrible. Maybe someone else can hear it too. I've got to find out. Oh, oh, the door is stuck. Why doesn't the door open? It's locked. Good Lord, the door is locked. I can't open it. Why would Mother want to lock me in? Mother! Mother! Can you hear me? Mother, please, open the door! I can't get out of my room! Mother! I'm frightened! Oh, it's going. Oh, thank heaven the voice is going away. Ah! The door. Oh, that light! That light behind it is blinding. Ah, it's her. I know it's her. She wants to come in here. No, Elizabeth, no, don't. No, I'm too frightened. Elizabeth, I'm your sister. I'm Heather. Ah, why doesn't somebody else hear it? Why doesn't somebody help me? No, Elizabeth, don't come in. Don't. I'm your sister. Prove it. The locket. Elizabeth, look at it. See, I have the locket. No! No! Oh, she's gone. She's gone. She was frightened of the locket.
Mother, are you all right?
Mother.
Open the door, darling, please.
I can't. It's locked. You locked it.
Of course it isn't locked.
Heather, what's the matter? Was it a bad dream? I heard you cry out.
That's all you heard? Only me?
Well, yes, darling. That's all.
Did you do much riding in Rome?
Not enough, I guess.
Oh, why do you say that?
Because I'm saddle sore.
You want to walk for a while?
If you don't mind.
Oh, of course not. We can just walk them across the field.
I'm sorry. I told you I wasn't going to be much of a riding companion. I'm just feeling too depressed.
You're not depressed. You're haunted. Am I right?
You don't believe me. I know. Neither would my mother if I told her.
Told her what?
That my sister has come back from the dead.
Ooh, wow.
I don't know why, but Elizabeth is trying to reach me. She tried the moment I came home.
Is that what you were running from when you bumped into me?
Maybe I shouldn't run. Maybe I should let her reach me.
So you could talk things over with your better half?
I didn't say she was my better half, just the other half of me.
You know something? I think this twin theory of yours is dripping wet.
It was the locket that drove her away.
Huh?
Oh, the locket I sent from Naples.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you told me about that.
Mother says she wouldn't accept the gift. She was frightened of it. Frightened her away last night, too, when she tried to get into my room.
Well, they drive vampires away with crucifixes or a string of garlic.
I'm not going to do anything at all to drive Elizabeth away. I'm going to let her come to me.
Hmm. That idea doesn't scare you?
She's my sister.
No. Can I ask you something?
Yes?
If you're not scared, then how come you're wearing that locket?
I'm very angry with you, Heather.
About what?
Martin says you're seeing ghosts.
Martin said that?
David told him about your conversation. This mad idea of yours. You have one bad dream and suddenly your house is haunted.
David had no right to say that to his father.
So it's David's fault.
This was none of Martin Henley's business.
But it's my business when he thinks my daughter is capable of believing such nonsense.
What does it matter what that man thinks?
It matters to me. If he thinks I have another feeble-minded daughter in my family...
Mother!
Oh, Heather. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean it.
It's all right, Mother.
That was dreadful. I shouldn't have said it.
No, it's all right.
Dreadful.
Did you think you were breaking the seal of some great mystery?
You weren't.
Yes, but you couldn't know.
Don't you think I guessed long ago what was really wrong with my twin sister?
That it wasn't a congenital ailment that put her into all those institutions?
Yes, I guess that you knew. We went through all those years fooling each other, and neither of us being fooled.
I knew there was something wrong with her brain, but do you think it made me love my twin sister less?
Didn't it?
No, Mother. And I know you didn't love her less either.
She was always a baby to me, Heather. The child inside her was never lost to me. Until the day she died. She called me Mummy.
You still mad at me?
I know you told him about my seeing ghosts. Mother was terribly upset about it. She thought I'd just about ruined her chances.
Her chances for what?
Catching herself a new husband, of course. Don't tell me you haven't figured that one out.
Yeah, guess I had some inkling.
Well, don't worry about it. You're not about to get a new sister.
And the last thing I want you to be is a sister.
There isn't the slightest chance. Now that you're... Father knows what a crazy family we are.
Heather, listen to me. You obviously don't know everything I told my father.
You told him that I saw the ghost of Elizabeth?
No, that's only half of it.
And what is the other half?
I told him that I believed you.
You what?
I believe you, Heather, because I saw her, too. Remember that night we were having hamburgers? I saw your dead twin in the mirror.
I thought you said it was your imagination or your eyesight.
I've never believed in ghosts before. But I'm willing to have someone prove this one exists.
But how?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Have you ever heard of a woman named Margaret Collodi?
No, who's she?
Well, she was a famous medium in her day. Now, I don't even know if she does this sort of thing anymore, but... When I heard she'd settled as close as Fairmont Village, I thought it was worth calling on her.
So that's why we're going there.
Mm-hmm. Is that all right with you?
Yes, I suppose so. If it's all right with Mrs. Collodi.
Well, to be truthful, she didn't sound especially glad when I told her the point of our visit.
No, I'm sorry. I haven't conducted a seance in 15 years. Things happened the last time I tried, things I had no control over.
Mrs. Collodi, we're willing to pay you for any service you can give us.
It's been years, I'm telling you. My gift may be gone.
Won't you listen to the problem, Mrs. Collodi?
Miss Weston's sister was a twin, an identical twin.
She's come back. I know she has, and I have to know why. I have to know what it is that she wants of me.
A twin. Yes, of course. I know about such things. Twins are strange ones, you know. Strange and wonderful all their lives, and sometimes beyond their lives.
What do you mean?
Twins are single souls, my child. Single souls that cannot be parted on this side of the curtain. Or the next.
Wait a minute. And that sounds pretty silly to me.
What you have seen, what you have heard, it has happened before to other twins. My child, your sister wants to be united with you again. United as one.
But she's dead.
Yes. She can no longer share your life with you. She can only share your death.
If Mrs. Collodi is right, then Heather Weston may no longer be very happy to know what her dead sister yearns for. No matter how much she may want to see Elizabeth, Heather is perfectly willing to wait another 60 years for the pleasure of reunion. The question is, will Elizabeth let her wait? We'll find out when we return in a moment with Act 3.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Need a full-size car? Well, you came to the right place. Buick. Take LeSabre, a genuine family car with lots of nifty Buick touches and room for six. Or the elegant Electra, the car that wrote the book on Buick luxury. Or Riviera, the luxury car that's also a great personal road car. The full-size Buicks. If you're looking for a place where you and your free spirit can really get together, this is it.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is He whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Taking place in the Weston house this evening. A circle is being formed in the living room. Irene Weston and her daughter Heather are sitting with Martin Henley and his son David. And all of them are watching an eccentric old lady named Margaret Collodi. But they're not here for purposes of ordinary conversation. This little group has gathered in the hope of talking to the dead.
Well, let's get this nonsense over with.
Mother, please.
Mrs. Collodi, tell us what we have to do. Do we join hands or...
First, there must be darkness.
Of course. All mediums have to work in the dark, don't they?
Mother, give the woman a chance.
I warned your daughter. It's been many long years since I tried to contact the spirit world. And even when I had my powers, I had little control.
Now, wait a minute. What does that mean exactly?
Things would happen. Evil things sometimes.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
David, please turn off the lights.
Oh, sure. Now, we decided to do this thing. Let's do it. There.
And now, what do we do?
Now, we wait.
Collodi, are you all right?
Oh, this is ridiculous. How long do we have to sit here like this?
Why, what's wrong with the woman? I think she's in a trance.
That's what she wants you to think.
She looks so strange.
I could almost swear that there's a light around her head.
It's a trick, of course. You see? She said she wasn't going to play any trick.
Mother, shut up, Mrs. Weston.
It's true. There is a light over Mrs. Collodi's head. I could almost swear.
I've had enough of this.
There is a face.
David, it must be her. It must be Elizabeth.
No, it looks more like the face of a man.
Good Lord.
It is a man, Heather.
No, David. It's my father.
She's calling your name.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I can't stand it.
I can't, Irene.
It seems to let go. I can't. Stop her for the love of God. Turn on the water.
David, do as she says.
Mrs. Calodi. David, she's fainted.
Never mind her. Take care of your mother.
Mother, are you all right, Mother? Please. Please, Mother, look at me, please. Yes, I'm all right. It was my father. He came into this room. I saw him.
Well, only, what did it mean? What was it he said?
He said, you killed her. What did he mean, Mother?
He meant that I killed Elizabeth.
What?
It's true. I did it. I killed my daughter. You never knew the real truth about your sister, Heather, because I never wanted you to know.
Mother, I did know. I told you that. I knew that Elizabeth had some kind of mental deficiency.
Yes. She had the mind of a child, but her body...
Irene, it's only natural. The body grows and changes, even if the mind can.
No. No, you don't understand. Heather... You think you've seen your sister, seen her ghostly image looking just like you.
Yes, I have.
But your ghost is only in your mind. You've seen Elizabeth the way you imagined her to be, perhaps as she sometimes imagined herself.
But they were identical twins, Mrs. Weston.
They were born at the same moment, but they were not identical. Heather... Your sister was different. Some accident of biology.
You mean malformed in some way?
She was twisted, cruelly twisted. Her spine, her face.
Oh, dear Lord.
How you romanticized her, darling. There were times when you had me believing that Elizabeth was the mirror image of my lovely daughter. But then... We'd visit her in one of those institutions, a place where we had hidden her away from the world.
But what did she know of me?
She thought about you all the time, with both shame and fear. That locket you sent her, it terrified her because she knew it wasn't her face.
Irene, what did you mean before? You didn't really kill this poor creature.
You said she died of a fever.
Yes. I chose... A clever weapon, didn't I?
What do you mean?
It began almost as soon as we brought Elizabeth home from the institution. The Montgomery home wouldn't keep patients over 21 years of age. So as a birthday present for your sister, we let her come home. We had to do it. At least until we could make other arrangements. And we gave her your room, Heather. It was there she became ill. Her fever was almost constant, and one night it rose dangerously. I knew she had to have medical attention. I knew she was suffering. I could hear the suffering in her voice as she called out to me.
Mommy.
I knew my little girl would die without something to bring the fever down. But I just walked out of that bedroom... And I knew that I would do nothing. Elizabeth was dead by morning. Daniel didn't speak one word to me until the day of the funeral.
Oh, Mother, how awful for you. I know you loved her. I know you did. As did I.
But love is not enough.
Mrs. Calodi, are you all right?
Listen to me, my child. Love is not enough. The spirit of your dead sister is determined to have the other half of her death. You must not remain in this house.
Maybe Maybe she's right, Heather. If there's the slightest danger...
I'll tell you what the danger is. The whole bunch of you being locked up as lunatics.
Oh, Dad.
Oh, David, the whole thing is nonsense, and you know it.
It's not nonsense if people are scared to the point of a nervous breakdown.
What's that?
Well, it's just the wind, darling. What do you think it is? Your ghost?
Heather, would you think of spending the night at our place?
No, I couldn't leave my mother.
Well, no, she can come, too.
There is no place you can go. No place where the spirit of your twin cannot reach you.
Look, I think that's just about enough, Mrs. Collodi.
There is no place I have to go. This is my home. It was her home, too.
Listen, I thought I heard something.
You heard the wind, Irene.
Oh, no, more than that. A voice. A voice of...
I didn't hear anything.
Maybe you can't hear it the way I do. Heather is calling your name.
I hear it.
Good Lord, you people are making me hear it now.
It's Elizabeth. She's outside.
No. Take it easy.
She wants me out there, David. Don't you see?
Yes, she wants you. She wants you to come to her.
Then I'm going.
No, Heather. I'm not afraid, Mother.
Heather, come back.
I'm not afraid of my...
Mrs. Weston, stop her. Don't let her go out there.
Heather. I'm here, Elizabeth.
Heather!
Yes.
Come.
Heather, where are you? Heather!
Come to me.
Oh.
Make us one again.
No, Elizabeth. No, that cannot be. We cannot be one.
Come to me.
No, I'm alive, Elizabeth. Can't you see?
Come to my arms. My sister.
Heather, don't touch it. For God's sake, Elizabeth, let her alone. Elizabeth, it's me. It's your mother.
Mommy.
I'm sorry for what I did, Elizabeth. I'm sorry.
Mommy.
I'm part of you too, Elizabeth.
Oh, Mother.
Don't. Isn't it? When I first arrived back home, I kept telling myself that I should go to the cemetery.
Not my favorite place, personally.
I just thought that I should do it, that I should visit the graves of my father and my sister. But I couldn't do it.
I'm not so sure you should be here today, Heather. Not the way you've been feeling.
But I have to be here, David. This time, I have... 3 graves to visit.
Three graves. A family reunion for the Westons. Except that young Heather Weston still has a long and happy life ahead of her. Oh, yes, we can tell you what happened to her. Heather married David Henley. They were very happy. And very recently, they were the proud parents of a set of lovely twins. I'll be back shortly.
This is veteran broadcaster Wally Ballou chatting with some of the wise folks who are taking advantage of General Electric's Happy Birthday America celebration going on right now at participating GE dealers. Sir?
How do you do, Mr. Ballou? It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
I might say you look much older and smaller in person than you do on TV.
Could I have your name, please?
Stilskin, R.P. Stilskin.
And you're taking advantage of this big General Electric celebration going on right now.
Sure am. What an array of super values. GE radios, tape recorders, stereo systems. I don't know what to buy first.
Well, I might suggest a GE digital clock radio or one of a number of tape recorders. Buy one and you get a free Spirit of 76 portable AM radio. That's value.
Hey, I'll do that. How long is this event going to last?
Through March 15th. And this is Wally Ballou inviting everyone to visit a participating GE dealers and share in GE's Happy Birthday America celebration now. I didn't ask you what you do for a living, Mr. Stilskin.
I spend gold in the subway tokens.
Now let's pick up some of that bad music.
We don't know whether our little story story has made you believe in ghosts. But then, how can you not believe, since you have a disembodied voice in your own home this minute? It's my voice, the voice of E.G. Marshall, who hopes to be haunting you again very soon. Our cast included Patricia Elliott, Vicki Vola, Russell Horton, William Redfield, and Ann Petoniak. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
Now, what did the cable say? Not that I do not know already.
Dig again under cherry tree. New information about golden cups.
Information? We have had no information about the gold cups, nor will we ever have any.
The girl bringing the daffodils, calling them golden chalices. The dream she had about the man saying first, kiss me, and then, you are a pest. Which adds up to kiss pest, where our gold cups were buried beneath a cherry tree. Then your Miss Roth shows up here with a cherry tree branch?
You call that information? Making wild deductions from dreams and pieces of words and chance gifts?
Hans, the girl knows something. Or she doesn't know that she knows, heavens. She was not even born when we buried the gold cups beneath the cherry tree in Kispesh, but she knows something.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN Portland, Music Radio 97. Bill Garrity and the Moonwatch is next, after the news at 12 midnight.
CBS News. Mudslides are feared to have claimed several score of lives in northern Ecuador as rescue workers unwittingly caused a new tragedy. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Officials fear as many as 60 people are dead after a pair of landslides in the Pacific oil port of Esmeraldas in northern Ecuador. Most of the victims were buried last night by an estimated 300 tons of mud and rock that tumbled down on searchers digging for a family of five who were buried by a smaller, earlier landslide. Police report 10 bodies recovered before darkness halted the rescue effort. Many of the missing are reported to have been children. The slides followed 20 days of rain around Esmeraldas. Police, fearing further slides, evacuated several other areas. In Central America, confirmed deaths in the wake of the Guatemalan earthquake tonight reached 18,901, but veteran relief workers say the final toll is certain to top 20,000. President Ford ordered a new effort to survey needs for additional aid to the quake-stricken country. More on that story from CBS News correspondent Bernard Shaw.
The United States is providing a high-flying U-2 reconnaissance plane to help survey destruction and damage in Guatemala. At a news briefing, Daniel Parker, administrator of the Agency for International Development, said relief officials are getting a firmer perspective on the disaster, the full extent of which remains a question mark.
No one has yet reached all of the villages that were severely damaged or destroyed. And this isn't for lack of effort. In many cases, it's a lack of a place to put down a helicopter. There isn't enough room.
Parker said the U.S. has committed more than $3.5 million to helping Guatemala, that current operating costs are about $250,000 a day and will add up to $7.5 million over a 30-day period. Parker said some offers of aid from groups in this country are being refused because of logistic problems in Guatemala due to damaged port facilities and the use of one main airport. Bernard Shaw, CBS News at the State Department.
More news in a moment.
Lifestyle, 1776. Cities were few and far between in colonial America. The main population centers were Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Newport, and Charleston, the only five with more than 8,000 inhabitants, Philadelphia being the second largest city in the whole British Empire at the time. Outside the cities, the colonial economy was based on farming. Perhaps 8 out of every 10 colonists were involved in it. and the welfare of the colonies depended on foreign trade, on the exchange of farm products for manufactured goods, to a degree that's hardly understandable to us today. I'm Mike Wallace, CBS News. Early American cities and farms, two of the subjects on Lifestyle 1776. 30 special bicentennial broadcasts this weekend. We'll also look into military life, entertainment, newspapers, the role of education. Lifestyle 1776, 30 special bicentennial broadcasts from CBS News. This weekend on the CBS Radio Network.
A group of North Dakota farmers expecting drought-threatened winter wheat to be in short supply are keeping already harvested grain off the market in an effort to drive prices higher. Some 300 farmers met yesterday to discuss that plan, but North Dakota Agricultural Commissioner Myron Just says in addition to the short-term objective of driving up prices, there also is a long-term goal.
There's a short-term thing that they're looking at with this holding action. You know, it's a way for them to sort of flex their muscles and indicate to the farm public and the non-farm public that the problem is serious. And then the longer-term thing that they're looking at, while this holding action is going on, they're aggressively exploring what may be some new market possibilities.
The British Home Office in London reports that Frank Stagg of the Irish Republican Army died in Wakefield Jail early this morning after a 60-day hunger strike. IRA leaders in Northern Ireland had warned that the underground Roman Catholic guerrillas would resume their bombing campaign in Britain if Stagg died. More news after this.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upsets some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
Former Pennsylvania Governor William Scranton is considering President Ford's offer that he succeed Daniel Moynihan as ambassador to the U.N. Government sources revealed Scranton, who talked with Mr. Ford on Monday, has sent word that he is undecided about whether or not to take the job. Scranton would not take calls yesterday. His wife Mary said he had absolutely no comment on the reports. At the White House, Press Secretary Ron Nessen said several people are under consideration, listing ambassador to Ghana, Shirley Temple Black, and New York civil rights lawyer Rita Hauser, in addition to Scranton. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 on Music Radio 97 for a Thursday morning, February 12th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.
K-O-I-N.